From the best-selling Heroes of History series, Emerald Books presents Alan Shepard, Higher and Faster, by Janet and Jeff Benge. Read for you by Tim Gregory. For information about other titles from this outstanding series that brings history to life, please visit heroesthenandnow.com or call 800-922-2143. Chapter 1. You're on your way. Alan Shepard was frustrated. By now, his flight should have been over. But here he was, still stuck on the launch pad. Problem after problem had kept the ground controllers scrambling and had pushed back the launch time. For over 3 hours now, Alan had been strapped into his seat in a less-than-comfortable spacesuit. When is this thing going to get off the ground? He wondered. Alan had been awakened at 1:30 in the morning to begin preparations for the flight. He had showered and shaved, eaten a hearty breakfast, and been examined by a doctor before finally donning his silver spacesuit. He had arrived at the launch pad at 5 a.m. and stared up at the Redstone rocket, the Bird, he called it, with the Mercury capsule secured atop. The rocket was an amazing sight as it sat bathed in the glow of bright spotlights in the early morning darkness. Moments later, Alan had ridden the elevator up the gantry and made his way across the walkway to the Mercury capsule, which he had named Freedom 7. Fellow astronaut John Glenn had helped him into the capsule and strapped him into his seat, ready for the flight. But now it was after 8:30, and Alan was still on the ground, still strapped in his seat. It was so frustrating. To make matters worse, butterflies had returned to the astronaut's stomach, and rightly so. After all, Alan was sitting on top of thousands of pounds of volatile fuel. The fuel was supposed to ignite and produce a thrust that would lift him off the launch pad, but it could just as easily explode in a mighty fireball. Plenty of rockets had done just that at various test launches. Alan had witnessed some of them firsthand. If that happened, he would have no escape. He just had to believe that Wernher von Braun and his team, who had built the Redstone rocket, had done their job properly. The radio crackled in Alan's ear, and a controller informed him of another delay. This time, an electrical inverter on the rocket needed to be replaced. More frustration. Finally, everything seemed to be in order, and the countdown began again. Alan breathed a sigh of relief and hoped there would be no more problems or delays. At 9:30 a.m., Alan heard the voice of Deke Slayton on the radio. Deke was located at Mercury Control, 2 miles from the launch pad, and would be the capsule communicator for the duration of the flight. Deke and Alan had become friends during their astronaut training, and the comforting sound of his friend's voice on the radio seemed to calm the butterflies in Alan's stomach. At 9:32 a.m., Deke began the final countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. Alan gripped the abort handle tightly and braced his feet against the capsule floor. 5, 4, 3. Don't screw up, Shepard, he muttered to himself. 2, 1, 0. Ignition. Alan could hear a rumble below him that began to grow like thunder. Then he heard Deke's voice on the radio say, "Lift off!" Slowly, gently, Alan felt himself rising into the sky. Then the Redstone began to pick up speed. "You're on your way," Deke said excitedly. And so he was. Alan could scarcely believe it. The boy born and raised in East Derry, New Hampshire, who grew up with a passion for flying, was off on the ultimate flight to space. Not only that, he was the first American to be launched beyond the Earth's atmosphere. What amazing twists and turns his life had taken to bring him to this moment. Chapter 2. Destined to Fly.
"You're so lucky to have a basement like this," Alan Shepard's friend Joe told him.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?